Okay. Well, to begin here this morning, we have something kind of special. My good friend and one of my heroes in the faith is here with us. We had him stand up last week. But as you may remember, we took an offering for him because his car was destroyed in the flooding that happened in Valencia. And his wife, I learned the story a little more fully this week. It was a very harrowing experience. She very narrowly escaped getting swept away in that flood. So it was quite scary. But Enzo, he wanted to tell you a little bit about what he's doing. But mostly he just wanted to personally thank whoever for us for helping him with that. So let me see if I do this right. Well, I'm going to translate, but they'd like to hear you speak. So it's fine. So we'll see how I do translate.
Okay, hace tres años.
3 years ago. I say the video. Okay. Whoops. Nope. Didn't work. Okay. No. ¿Qué pasa? Well, at the best laid plans of mice and men. There's supposed to be a video with some pictures that he wanted to show you, but we had trouble this morning. Okay, I don't know. So, this is where he's from. Okay, sorry. Okay. 3 years ago,
salí de Venezuela.
I left Venezuela.
A España.
To Spain.
Y pude empezar a experimentar.
I began to be able to experience.
Algo que siempre hemos leído en la Biblia.
It's something that I always read about in the Bible.
Pero nunca lo había visto tan cerca.
But I hadn't really seen as part of my own life.
Como lo que significa.
How it says
el dolor,
the pain
de la viuda, of el huérfano, y el extranjero.
The widow, the orphan, and the foreigner.
El extranjero deja mucho. Deja muchas cosas.
Oh, so the foreigner leaves lots of things, leaves his life.
Pero el amor a Dios,
but the love of God
supera mucho,
overcomes all that.
Y empezamos a hacer cosas en España.
And God began to do things in Spain.
Empezamos a ver a los latinos.
We began to see that Latinos from all over the world.
Aunque principalmente queríamos alcanzar España.
Although we went there to reach Spaniards.
Pero vimos el dolor de los latinos.
But we saw the pain of the immigrants around us.
Y empezamos a atender.
We began to understand.
A personas con necesidad de casa.
We met people that were in need of a house, place to live.
Necesidad de ayuda de documentos.
They needed help getting their documents.
Y comida, alimento.
And food as well.
Entonces, bueno, hay alguna foto, pero no importa,
photos,
después.
But it's not working, yeah.
Tranquilo.
Don't worry about it.
Sí. Okay. Eso nos hizo ir haciendo amigos poco a poco.
So we began to make friends little by little.
Desde nuestra casa.
In our own home.
Pero fue creciendo.
But we began to grow more and more.
Y hace un año y dos meses,
about a year ago,
alquilamos un pequeño local.
We had to go rent a space to have the church.
Y estamos ahorita casi reuniéndonos unas 40 personas.
So we now have about 40 people meeting with us.
Dentro de unos días vamos a tener bautizos.
So when I get back, we're going to have baptisms.
Y vemos el amor.
So ¿cuántos?
10.
So they're going to baptize about 10 adults when he gets back.
Sí. Y bueno, el amor entre nosotros va creciendo.
And the love between us all is growing.
Y eso ha hecho.
And this has made
una fuerza.
A force.
Pero también la fuerza que ustedes nos han dado.
But also the strength and the power that you've given to us.
Por el soporte.
And the support.
En todo sentido.
And we feel that in all ways.
Oración.
Prayer.
Y saben que en octubre,
in October,
hubo un problema de inundación en Valencia.
There was a problem with flooding in Valencia.
Y casi mi esposa,
almost my wife,
muere,
almost died in it.
En con el río.
And when they opened, so they opened a reservoir. There wasn't even raining. There was no warning. They opened a reservoir to prevent problems. But they didn't tell anybody, and so all these people were swept away.
Y bueno, nuestro carro fue destruido.
And his car, Roseli, was in a traffic jam, and just got out before the water took their car. Their car was destroyed.
Y lo perdimos, pero
we lost our car, but
Dios nos permitió
God allowed us that
tener otro carro
to have another car.
Gracias realmente a
and
sus
thank you
apoyo.
So much for your help.
Quería venir
we wanted to come
específicamente
specifically
un poco a limpiar nuestro corazón.
Yeah, to just clean our souls.
Y a darle las gracias.
And to give thanks
de verdad, gracias.
Truly, so thank you very much.
Solo quería compartirle un verso
I just want to share one verse
final
in the end here.
Porque quiero que sean testigos
we want to be give testimony,
de que se logre una verdad en el versículo
we have encountered the truth in this verse.
De Salmo
of Psalm
92:15 creo.
91 creo.
No, 90.
90. So no, 90. Psalm 90.
90.
We've been talking about this verse all week.
90:15.
Yeah, verse 15.
Que por eso quiero que oren por mí.
And I want you to pray this for me.
Por la iglesia y por mi familia.
And for the church and for me and my family.
Que dice quiero.
It says that I want.
Que mi tristeza anterior,
that my previous sadness,
la misma proporción de dolor,
with the same proportion of my pain,
sea la alegría futura,
would become my joy in the future.
Solamente quiero, por favor, que
I only want to
oren,
please ask you that you would pray for us.
Porque ha sido tan fuerte el sufrimiento,
been really, really tough.
Y se lo pueden imaginar que solamente le pido a Dios
que just can imagine that we ask God,
la alegría futura sea proporcional.
Joy would be as great as our pain that was in our past.
Sí. So, gracias.
Thank you. Okay. Gracias. Thank you. And so it's been a joy to be with them. These guys have meant an awful lot. To me, a big part of my life has been formed just in my interaction with them and seeing their faith. It's been a blessing to me, and I hope I've been able to bless other people because of it. Okay, so today we're continuing our series called No Fear, where we're trying to get more secure and find more joy in our relationship with God. I know there's many people that still have fear, still have wonderings about whether or not really, you know, they're going to go to heaven, whether or not they're really going to be able to be with God. And last week we talked about, we just went through the good news of the fact that Jesus died for our sin, paid completely the penalty of death that we owe. So we're now free. But if we stop there, we miss a lot. And I know that some people can do that. Some people can just sort of stop there and they can think about, okay, well, I'm saved and I guess I'm going to heaven. And they don't really think much beyond that. They just think, great, it's all taken care of. They go on their way. And then there's other people that can think so much about the sacrifice that God made that they just think about their sin and what it cost Jesus to pay for it, and they can get sort of stuck there and focus on their sin. But God has much more for us than that, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. We're going to look at a lot of verses that say some amazing things about what God has done for us. And I, you know, my goal here today is to help you maybe catch the reality of them. I eat too fast. How many of you eat too fast? Okay, so for me, eating is a job. It's a task. The plate's full. You got to empty it. So I just get after it. I eat it. It's, you know, I eat. But that's not really the best way to enjoy my wife's fine cooking. You know, if you get to be a sommelier, that's a fancy word for a wine taster, you have to go to school and you have to learn how to taste wine, how to have the flavors of the wine wake your taste buds up so you can taste all these different flavors that are in there and not just be a barbarian and wolf it down. And that's what I want to do a little bit today, is to help you maybe see some of these things. I know you know them. I'm sure you could all pass the test. You can write it down, you know. But what I hope today is that God can help us really get a handle on some of these things because they're so fantastic. And so let's pray. Let's ask God. Jesus, we just need your help today. Lord, we're just dust. We're just people that have all these problems, Lord. We can come in here and we can sit and we can just be burdened by all the issues that we have going on in our life. Lord, help us today. Set us free. Help us hear. So often, Jesus, you said, let him who has ears to hear, hear. And God, help us today to hear. Help us to open the ears of our heart to have these amazing, fantastic things come alive in us. Just, you know, like spring today, Lord, may they just come alive in our heart. And so, Lord, we look to you and we ask you to help us today. Okay. You know, without a doubt, like I said, the truths we looked at last week are amazing, but they were really just a means to an end. Now, if God had only just saved us, if God had only just given us, you know, salvation and taken away our sin, that would be enough to have him be glorified forever and ever and ever and ever. But the truth is, he didn't stop there. That was just the doorway into really what he wanted to do in our lives. And what I want to talk about today is this amazing thing that God did in giving us the Holy Spirit. That was what it was all about. The reason our sin had to be taken care of was so that God could come live in us through the Holy Spirit. That was the goal. And this is what was proclaimed. The first time Christianity was proclaimed was a festival called Pentecost, which happened 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. All these Jews from all over the world, you know, you got to go to 3 feasts a year. So they all were in town for the big feast, big party. And there was, all of a sudden, there was a sound of like a rushing wind. But there was no wind. And then all of a sudden, the disciples are together and they all start declaring the glory of God. But they all start doing it in languages that they never learned. Just miraculously. I prayed for that because so I didn't have to try to do Spanish the way I've had to do it. And so all these people gathered from all over. They're like, what is going on? They go in there and they hear these guys speaking all these different dialects from all over the world that people don't know. And they're like, what is happening? So Peter begins to preach and he preaches and he said, you know what? There's been a big problem here. God sent his Messiah and you guys missed it. Actually, you killed him. It was bad. You guys did a really bad thing. But then he said this, but God raised him up. And we're all witnesses of this. Therefore, since he's been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. And Peter says, what's going on here is the Holy Spirit of God has come upon us. That's why we can speak these languages. Now, he went on talking about it. And at the end of the speech, all the people there were cut to the quick. They were like, oh, no, we did. We killed God's Messiah. What should we do? They said, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what should we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This was, okay, so nobody knew what Christianity was, right? Everybody thought Judaism was a plan. That's what God was going to do. Now all of a sudden he does a new thing. Nobody knows what it is. And Peter says, this is what it is. You repent, you believe, and you get the Holy Spirit. That's God's new plan. Now, so what this says is that everybody who believes in Jesus, that's what Peter meant when he said, repent and be baptized. Repent, we talked about that last week, means changing your mind about being independent from God, wanting to depend on him, making him your Lord. You say, okay, Jesus, you're now the boss in my life. And then you get baptized. That was what Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them. So it makes sense, right? You say to God, you're my master. And then he says, okay, I want you to get baptized. So to show that you really do believe it, you go into action and you get baptized. So if you're a Christian here and you've not been baptized after you decided that, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus, God commands you get baptized. It's not complicated. If he's your master, this is the first thing he says, okay, now prove it, obey me, get baptized. Okay, so if you want to get baptized, we now have a baptismal. It's been kind of hard. We've been a church on the run. We've had to wait till the rivers weren't frozen, different things. Borrow a baptismal. Now we can baptize people. So seriously, if you haven't been baptized, come talk to me or Paul or Clifton or come. We'll baptize you. We'll do it next week. Obey. Do it. Believe. So anyway, when you do that, you get the Holy Spirit. You're given this amazing gift. And now I know there's all kinds of confusion out there about this, about how you get the Holy Spirit and, you know, a second blessing and all this stuff. You got to do certain things. And I don't see any of that in the Bible. What it says is you believe, you get the Holy Spirit. It says you, however, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, well, then he doesn't belong to him. See, this is what makes you a Christian. You have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. God says, well, that one's not mine. Doesn't have the Holy Spirit. This sets us apart, makes us different from everybody else on the planet because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And we have to get a grip on what that means. Can you imagine this? Okay, so that's what we're going to try to do here. We're going to try to get a grip on what it means for the Holy Spirit of God to live in us. That is an amazing statement. Think about this. In the beginning, there was no universe. And the Holy Spirit of God, it was all a ball of water, and the Holy Spirit of God is hovering over it. So the entire creation cannot contain the Holy Spirit of God. And yet it lives in you. Part of the Creator, triune, mysterious God lives inside of you. That such a thing could happen is mind-boggling. I mean, it's the same thing that happened to Jesus. Remember Jesus, as he starts his ministry, he goes down to get baptized by John the Baptist. And the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. And then his whole life just goes nuts, right? He just goes out and does all these miraculous stuff. The same thing happens to us. Now, to me, the idea that this could happen to the God incarnate, okay, that makes some sense, right? That the Holy Spirit could live in Jesus. But me? A man who does not in any way deserve to go to heaven, a man who's done horrible things, a man who still does horrible things, the Holy Spirit is going to come live inside of me? I mean, this should unsettle us. This is amazing. And you think, well, shouldn't your life be a little different? I mean, here's what Jesus said to his guys the last night he was on earth. He says, you know, it's better if I go away. Now, how many times in your life as a Christian have you said to yourself, I wish Jesus was here? I would love to ask him this question. Or I would love to have him protect me. Or I would love to have, if he was just right here with me, I would not be afraid. Well, Jesus says, better that I'm not here. And he said this to the guys that he'd lived with for 3 years, right? He's with them every day. They can ask him questions. They can, you know, Jesus, save us from the storm. And he saves them from the storm. He says, look, it's way better if I'm not here. Because if I'm not here, the counselor's going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And I'll send him to you. So we have to think about this. Is it true? You're better off than if Jesus was walking with you. That's a phenomenal thing. We got to start to wrap our mind around that. Think about, okay, Jesus, then how is that true? And what do you want that to mean in my life? Well, the first thing the Bible tells us, not these are in no biblical scholar order, they're just in my order, but what it says to us is he testifies to us. The Holy Spirit, it's better to have him with us because he testifies to us about the things of God. It says this, this is how we know that we remain in him and he in us, he's given us his Spirit. So we have the Word of God that tells us all these wonderful truths about us. That Jesus died for us, that God loves us, that all these things that we have. But we have more than that. We have more than the promises. We have the Holy Spirit inside us confirming and testifying to us that, yeah, this stuff really is real. That you can give your life, you can depend on it, you can trust it. It's real. It's not just theory. It's different than other religious books. This really is God speaking. And when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit can have God speak to us. And if you don't have that, you can't understand anything. He says, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. I don't know if you ever tried to read the Bible before you were a Christian. I did. I was an intellectual guy. I could read books. I was good at reading books. And then when I read the Bible, I thought, I don't know what this thing is saying. I couldn't really understand it. But now it's this living thing that breathes life into me. And that's because of the Holy Spirit. And if, like I said, if you don't have it, you're lost. The person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolishness to him. He's not able to understand it. It's evaluated spiritually. There's a different way of understanding and realizing truth. It's not through our mind. It's through the Spirit of God. It's what makes it real. And we have to depend on him. If you're just reading the Bible and studying it with your mind, you're missing. You're missing the part that makes it real. We have to depend on the Spirit of God as we do that. To give us insight, to give us wisdom. It's a conversation. It's not an understanding. And right here and now. You know, you can sit here and listen to me yell at you and go home and get nothing. Or you can come and you can ask the Holy Spirit when you're here and depend on him to make this a life-changing experience. It has way more to do with that than it does with me. So let's ask him again. Holy Spirit, God, we just ask you to help us now, God. Help us. Your word, it says it's like a hammer that shatters rock. It says it is like a fire. Lord, help us this morning. Pray your Spirit would open our hearts and minds. Pray you'd speak to us, that we'd hear your voice. You'd whisper to us, Lord. You would convict and you would encourage and you would comfort and do all of the things, Lord, that you delight to do in us, that you would bring us life here today. God, help us depend on you. Just ask you that in Jesus' name. So the other thing, another thing he does for us is he guarantees our salvation. It says this, in him you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Man, when I was a young believer, I held on to this verse. You know what happens if you put a down payment down, you're going to rent an apartment and you go out and you put the down payment down. And guess what happens if you don't take it? You lose your down payment. That's what the down payment is. Can God lose his down payment? No, it's impossible. What's he going to forfeit? Okay, I forfeit the Holy Spirit. I don't want to save that person anymore. Is he going to do that? No. It's the down payment guaranteeing your redemption. Are you going to go to heaven if you believed in Jesus? Yes. God has pledged his Holy Spirit to see that happen. And the other picture here is a Roman seal. You know, they used to make those things out of wax, and then they had a ring, and they'd put that in the ring. And what that says, if anybody opens this, the full weight of the Roman Empire falls on them. The Holy Spirit is the seal of God Almighty. If you think you're not protected by God, you are protected by God. And the enemy cannot do anything about that. Look at this verse. I love this verse too. It says, I give them eternal life. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one. So our security is been pledged by Jesus. The other thing I like about, you know, is the vision of a seal. Is like, if how many of you, anybody can in here, anybody preserve things? Yeah, okay. So you put that little rubber thing on there that you can't touch while you're doing it. I help, you know. Because what happens if you touch the rubber seal, then it doesn't seal right, you know, and you have to wait for them to click at the end. And what does that signify? That signifies that nothing's getting in there. Because if stuff gets in there, then it will rot and go bad. The Holy Spirit has sealed us to prevent anything evil from getting in and destroying our life. Ah, it's just such a great verse. I just love that. So as this verse says, he gives us eternal life. It says, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but is passed from death to life. Past tense. This is the first verse I learned in Spanish. Ya pasado. Already has passed from death to life. So you're not waiting around to get life. If you're waiting around, which I think for the first 10 years of my Christian life or something, I kind of had in the, I wouldn't have said this, but in the sort of in my little cartoon bubble, I was waiting for the person that was going to heaven to happen when I died. No, that person's here. Passed over from death to life. You're not waiting for anything. Why are you going to get rid of this fleshly body? That's it. The only you that's going to live forever is here now. It says, I give them eternal life. It says, truly, and they will never perish. And this is a place where, you know, we need to savor this a little, because we throw this word around, eternal life. Ah, yeah, got eternal life. Yeah. But I don't know if we think about really what that means. So I have an illustration here I wanna do. Corbin, would you help me? Okay, so this is your eternal life. And Corbin is gonna take it out and he is gonna wind it as far as it goes to show us our eternal life. Now you're gonna have to go out the door, I think. All the way back. Okay, we'll go over here. Whoops. All right, go all the way back. This is your eternal life. Yeah. I should have undone this before you got here, right? Okay, here we go. Now we're talking. So here goes our eternal life. Your eternal life is long, very long. How long is it? Well, here he goes all the way back. There it is. Oh, he's going. Yep. Out the door, into the parking lot. Okay, there it is. There's your eternal life. Well, that's actually 1 second of your eternal life. And you see this part on this rope? I don't know if you can see that it's red. That's your life on earth. Compared to 1 second of your eternal life, which already began when Jesus saved you. Now, how much sense does it make to live for this part? That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But we're also focused on this part. When this is just the beginning of what Jesus has done for us. And all this comes from the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit is the one who gives you life. Flesh doesn't help us at all. And the words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. And as we saw earlier, the Spirit is a constant reminder to us of this. says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? You know, we think a lot about the death of Christ. Communion reminds us of that. And it's good to think about it. But it's the life of Jesus. It's the fact that he's alive and is there on the throne now, and his Holy Spirit lives within us. That's what changes things. Not what happened in the past, but what's happening now through his Holy Spirit. The life that Jesus had at his resurrection is the life that we are filled with. And it will never stop. It's going to go on and on and on and on. And we are going to be with him forever. And that happens to us because of this. It connects us to God. The Holy Spirit is our connection to life. God is life. It says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one that you have sent, Jesus Christ. Not know about God, not be able to answer things on a test, but to be connected to have the life of God flowing into us. That's what we're trying to figure out. How do I get the life of the risen Savior and Lord over all creation to be pouring into me? That's the quest of our Christian life. How do I learn like Jesus? You know, why do you think Jesus was out all night praying? Did you ever think about that? I mean, he's God. What's he doing being out all night praying? Why, he's out all night praying. The same, because he was a man too. He's just like us. He had to go out and just connect to get filled up with that life that God wants to give each one of us. And this, you know, this is probably the most mind-boggling verse in the Bible to me. It says, I in them, Jesus is praying to his Father, and he's saying, I in them and you in me, so that they may be completely one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So it's almost like we've been invited into the Godhead. I mean, that's a little bit blasphemous, but that's what Jesus is saying. I want God, Father, I want them to be connected to me and me to you and them to one another just like we are. I mean, that's an amazing, fantastic, mind-blowing thing. The level of intimacy and connection is astounding. And that's where life comes from. Life comes from us maintaining that connection to the life of God that is available to us through the Holy Spirit. He can give us grace. He can give us wisdom and insight. And walking in that is what it means. And lastly, he makes us a new creation. And this also is, you know, utterly astounding verse. It says, from now on, we don't know anyone from a worldly perspective. We don't look at one another anymore, just thinking, oh, yeah, you're that guy that I knew a long time ago. It says, we did know Christ that way, but now we no longer know him in this way. We know Christ through the Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So this is, you know, we're a new creation. My wife loves to raise monarch butterflies. And it's such an amazing process to watch this, you know, little bump on a leaf turn into a caterpillar, and then the caterpillar crawls around 14 days, then hangs itself in a little J, and then this weird thing happens that I've been able to catch maybe 3 times. Where they just begin to shake, and then they split open and they turn into this massive goo, and then that massive goo hardens into a form, and then around the top these little gold lights come on. It goes kind of goes ding, 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 ding all around the top. And you watch it and you think, I don't know what I just saw. You can't, it just doesn't compute. And that's the way we are. We've been made a new creation in a way that we need to pursue connecting with fervently for the rest of our life, to discover all that is in it. And then, of course, the butterfly comes out. And one day, we're going to come out. This husk, this chrysalis will be gone. And you will emerge in all of the glory that God has already put in you, but is hidden. Paul said, we have it in these jars of clay. It's hidden. You can't really see it yet. That doesn't mean it isn't there. And through the Spirit, we can connect to that and we can live that life now. And the last thing God has done is he has given us a new identity. Of course, as a new creation, you need to have a new identity. You're a new person. And that identity is that you are a child of God. You know, people say, oh, we're all children of God. No. God created us all. But some people he has chosen to be his children. And that's you, if you know Jesus. And that's what Paul's going to talk about next time. So, for today, what I want to do is this. I want to stop and just give you a couple of moments. Okay, did the Holy Spirit say anything to you today while I was speaking? I want you to think about that for a minute and ask him if he has anything to say to you. And just, what do you need to do? Is there something you need to do to respond? Is there something you need to change in your life, some way that you need to pursue connecting to the life of God that he's given us that you're not doing yet? So please, take a minute and think about that. Lord God, we just cry out to you to help us. Lord, you know it's hard. You walked this world as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. You know the battle that it is to look beyond what we can see and touch and taste, to connect to what is really real, what is really going to last forever. Lord, we engage so easily with the temporary. Help us, Lord, figure out how to engage with that which will remain. Just cry out to you for mercy, Lord. As a church, would you help us? Help us connect to you, to one another, that we might discover what you died to give us. Lord, you didn't die to just have us live the same life we lived before you came to us. You have an amazing plan for us to walk through this world in an eternal way, in a spiritual way. And I ask you, God, for wisdom and insight that you would help us to do that. And we just ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen.